Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, let's stand one more time, everybody. I know y'all just sat down, but let's stand one more time. And Jacob put Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 on the board. I want us to read this together tonight because we're talking about fruit. How many want to bear good fruit?
Amen.
How many want to be fruitful Christians?
Amen.
Be fruitful followers of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said you'll know them by what? By their fruits. You won't know them by their gifts. You'll know them by their fruit. You'll know, and so somebody said, you shouldn't judge people, and I understand all of that, but I believe that we ought to inspect the fruit.
Right.
Amen? And we, as the people of God, we know that God wants us to be fruitful Christians. So let's read this aloud together tonight. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now take your Bibles and go with me tonight to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 27. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse number 27. I was praying, trying to figure out how he would want me to flow in this. I thought, because tonight we were talking about peace. And I thought at a few points that I would address this from the perspective of being peacemakers. We're not to be peacekeepers. God actually calls us to be peacemakers.
Yes.
Everywhere we go, peace ought to follow us.
Amen.
Amen. If you walk into a room and when you walk into a room it turns into chaos, peace is not following you. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
Amen. If you leave a room and peace comes over the place. Come on. Come on now. Then we know that somewhere along the way, peace is not following after you, or it's not being developed in you. But we are called to be peacemakers. But I want to challenge you tonight about cultivating the fruit of peace in your life that only comes from Jesus. I tell you, there's a lot right now, and just stand with me just for a minute. I'm going to read this text here in a minute. There's a lot for us to be fearful about. We look at everything that is going on in society today. Sister Tanya's already hit on it during worship. Gas prices they're telling us that there's no end in sight on when they're going to start. You walk into the grocery store and everything is being inflated. Prices are going up. On top of that, there's a war going on in overseas. Russia is invading Ukraine. And if you get on social media, and if you get on Facebook and Twitter and all of those different types of things, and if you turn on the news, you turn on Fox News, you turn on CNN, you turn on Newsmax, and you hear all of that, if you didn't know any better, everybody is fearful. Everybody is up in arms. Everybody is scratching their head wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? But here's the thing. In the midst of all of that, Jesus said, I've given the church peace.
Yes.
In the midst of inflation, Jesus says, I've given you peace. Jesus says, in the midst of war, I've given you peace. Jesus says, in the midst of calamity, I have given you peace. And if we are operating from a place of fear and anxiety, and I'm not operating from a place of peace, we are living below what God has instructed for the child of God to live as we live this life by the Spirit of God. And so that's what I want to read to you tonight. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Let's look at it. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace. Whose peace is it? It's his peace. Not your peace. Not your neighbor's peace. Not the government's peace. Not education's peace. It's his peace. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then look at this last thing. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk to you about cultivating a life of peace in your life. Amen. Cultivating a life of peace in your life. You may be seated at the house of God tonight. The Lord has a peace that he gives to his children that supersedes anything that this world can give. There was a song that Brooklyn Tabernacle came out many years ago. I'm not sure how long ago it was. And it was talking about the love of God, but you can really substitute love for peace. You can do all those sorts of things. But they used to sing a song that said, no one can love you like Jesus can. No one can give you peace you do not understand. And God can give you peace, has peace that he gives to you that supersedes or surpasses whatever anybody else may think. As a matter of fact, Philippians would tell us it is the peace of God. It is the peace that God gives us that surpasses all understanding. My brothers and sisters, you can have peace tonight that the world doesn't understand why you have peace. And so you can have peace even in the midst of the most difficult times. Even when gas is out of control. Even when our government is out of control. Even when countries are invading other countries. Even when it seems like that the economic community is collapsing. And people don't know how they're going to put food on the table. They don't know how they're going to put gas in the tank. They don't know how that they're going to take care of their necessities. But even in the midst of it, the church does not operate. The child of God does not operate by a place of fear. But the child of God operates from a place of peace. Amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, if you claim to be Spirit-filled, if you claim to be Holy Ghost-filled, and your life is not full of peace, then somebody has the right to question whether or not if your life is really led of the Spirit. Why? Because as a Spirit-filled believer, we've read it in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We talked about love. It is joy. We talked about joy. And it is peace. And so if we claim to be Spirit-filled people, if we claim to be Pentecostal Christians, if we claim to be people of the Spirit, we ought to be people of peace. Everywhere that we go, peace ought to flow through us. Everywhere that we go, love ought to flow through us. Everywhere we go, joy ought to flow through us. And my brothers and sisters, if we are who we say we are, we ought to be people of peace. The world can be in turmoil. The world can be fighting hell. But the church of the living God rests in the peace of God. Can somebody say amen? An artist one time asked a bunch of artists, they said, I want you to draw me a picture, paint a picture of what true peace looks like. And so they all got their art canvas and began to paint and began to draw. When it was all said and done, the judges begin to go down through the line and look at it. And one picture was a bunch of kids playing in a park. It was just such tranquility. It looked so peaceful. They went down to the next one, and the next one, it was families. It was all like in a park having picnics and drinking soda and drinking and having fried chicken and everything. There wasn't a care in the world. And every picture looked like that except for the very last one. The judges got down to the very last one, and I'm telling you, that picture was a picture of chaos. It was a picture of chaos. It was a cliff, and waves were crashing against a cliff. Rain was falling. Lightning was flashing in this picture. And the judges looked at the artist and said, I think you misunderstood what we were asking. We're looking for the definition of what peace looks like. That artist looked at the judge and said, you overlooked one thing about this picture. And on the cliff, inside of the cleft of the rock, was a nest that housed a bird and its family. And they sat in that nest singing their songs. While the waves were crashing, while the storm was going on, they had peace because they were in the rock. My brothers and sisters, if we are in the cleft of the rock, the winds may blow, the lightning may flash, the storm clouds may arise, but they do not disrupt our peace. Because just like with everything else that we've talked about in this series, and the fact is that peace has nothing to do with what is going on around you, but peace has everything to do with what is living on the inside of you. Amen. And John chapter 14 and verse 27, when Jesus speaks of peace, listen to this. He says, peace I leave with you. This word peace in the Greek is a word that means a state of natural tranquility exempt from the rage in the havoc of war. Let me say that again. This word that Jesus used in John chapter 14 when he said, peace I leave with you. My peace is what I'm giving to you. What the word here that he used is a Greek word that means a state of natural tranquility exempt from the rage in the havoc of war. Everywhere that we look right now, we see the havoc. Everywhere that we look, we see the commotion. Everywhere that we look right now, we see the war that is going on. And my brothers and sisters, Satan wants you to be mixed up in that, because we are living in a fearful society. Satan's desire is to disrupt the peace in your church, in your ministry, in your home. Wherever he is at, he seeks to bring chaos in destruction. And wherever that you see chaos and destruction and confusion, you see the work of the enemy. Let me explain this to you because we're going to do some teaching here. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now verse 2 says something very interesting. I don't have time to get into what I think is happening here. But verse 2 says, but darkness, but the earth was not form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now listen to me carefully. Everything that God creates is good. Amen. But in verse 2, we find out that there is something without form, it is void, and it is dark. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the Bible says that it is without form, it is the Hebrew word that means confusion and a place of chaos. And what Moses, the writer, is stating here is he's saying God created it, but something happened that brought about confusion and brought about chaos. You know what I think happened? John 10 and 10 happened. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan's desire for your life and for my life is for your life and my life to be in complete chaos. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach here. His desire is for everything in our lives to be in complete disarray. That's the reason why, me personally, I hate disorganization. Why? Because I do not think that disorganization ever is the will of God. Oh, I could preach for about 30 minutes there. But I'm not. Disorganization is never the will of God. Why? Because our God is a God of order. And any time that you find disorganization, anytime that you find chaos, anytime that you find, you will find out that people are outside of the will of God. Jesus said the thief is coming to bring chaos to your life. But here's what I thought was interesting. And I'm telling you, this afternoon, as I was writing down some notes, I came across some good things here. When Jesus called Satan a thief, the Greek word that he used here is the word kleptos, which means an embezzler. Do you know what an embezzler is? An embezzler is someone who you have given something over to with the trust that they are going to do what is necessary with it. We see that in banking and investments. I hand my money over into an investor and say, you take this money and you invest it so that I can make more money. But then what happens is that an embezzler will take that and will take it from you and will misappropriate, leaving the one who gave the money broke, busted, disgusted, not having a way, and finding their lives turned upside down. And Satan's main job, and we're seeing it today, we're seeing it in the earth at a rate that I have never seen it before. Now, stay with me here because I'm going somewhere with this, but we need to lay a foundation. The fact is that Satan is the embezzler of everything in your life. He is wanting to take your peace. He is wanting to take your joy. He is wanting to take your family. And he's wanting to misappropriate it so that when you walk back into the meeting to see what has been done, you will find out that your empire has shattered and fallen to the ground. But I am thankful that even though Jesus said the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, because the exchange rate in my bank is 100 times more better than what the enemy can ever do for you. Amen. And so what we find out, so you see, God is a God of peace.
Yeah.
Satan is a master of chaos.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, I've got just a few points that I want to make to you here in this message. Number one, you know how you know you have the peace of God in your life? God's peace will always bring order. I'm going to say that again. You want to know how you have the peace of God in your life? God's peace will always bring order. The peace of God will always bring order in your life. You remember, Jesus dies on the cross. I mean, they beat him. They pluck out his beard. They put nails in his hands and his feet. And all this so he can redeem mankind. But here's the interesting thing. At that time, his disciples didn't know anything about that. He would try to expound to them those types of things. But they just weren't getting it. They didn't understand it. And so, when they come and arrest him, and when they beat him, what happens? Everything gets turned over into chaos. The disciples run. The disciples betray. Judas wasn't the only one that betrayed. Come on. Read your Bible. Judas wasn't the only one that betrayed him. Every one of them left him. Peter denied him. Every disciple that he had left him. Disarray. They crucified the Lord. They buried him in a tomb. Eventually, 3 days later, he arose. Bible says that he conquered death. He has the holds the keys of death and of hell, according to Revelation. But when he appeared to his disciples, the Bible says in John chapter 20 in verse 19, they're all fearful. They're so fearful that the disciples went into hiding. They go into hiding because they know, well, if they did that to Jesus, they're probably looking for us. And if they find us, they're going to do the same thing to us that they did to Jesus.
Yeah.
But while they're hiding in fear, the Bible says, and I love it, all of a sudden Jesus appears in the midst of them. And you know what the first thing is that he says? Jesus does not look at them and does not chastise them for their betrayal. Aren't you, let me just stop right here and say, aren't you thankful that Jesus and God never chastised you because of your betrayal?
Amen.
Yes.
He didn't chastise. He's like, well, I'm here. Where were you guys at when they were doing all this? He didn't do that. When he appeared in the midst of the darkness and the fear and the worry and the anxiety, the first thing that Jesus said was, peace be unto you. My God, I'm getting ready to run in this place. Why? Because when God appears in the midst, when God appears in your midst, he will erase all fear and anxiety and worry in your life. When you feel like things are out of order, when you feel like things are discombobulated, when you feel like the puzzles of your jigsaw have been dumped out on the floor and you're missing a few pieces, that's when Jesus steps in the midst of everything and he says, don't worry about it, because I've given you my peace. I've given you my peace, and you don't have to worry about a single thing. Oh my goodness.
Praise God.
I love this passage.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Remember Isaiah. Isaiah 26 and 3. You remember Isaiah the writer writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and says God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. I just love teaching the word. Are you ready for something? And look this up if you don't believe it. I was going over this today, and when I came across this, man, it just blew me away. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, I want you to go and read it. Grab you a Strong's Concordance and what have you. But when Isaiah says, He says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect and peace is the same Hebrew word. It is the word shalom. And so, what Isaiah is actually saying is, I will keep him in shalom, shalom. Oh my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost as I'm preaching this right here. Because the word peace and the word perfect in the Hebrew means a completeness about it. And Jesus is saying to the church, if you will keep your mind on me, I will keep you complete. I will keep you complete. Child of God, we don't have to be falling apart. Oh my goodness, I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. You don't have to be falling apart. Every time that you turn on the news, can I tell you? Turn it off. You don't have to be falling apart. Because God said, if you will keep your eyes on me, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter, that's what the word finisher means, the perfecter, something that keeps you complete, something that keeps you whole. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. My brothers and sisters in this house this evening, and those that are watching, I want to tell you, God will keep you complete through the things that you are going through if you will simply keep your eyes on Him. You see, His presence brings peace to our lives. Number two, God's peace, not only will it bring order, it'll put things back together. But God's peace will always bring clarity. You see, peace is more than a feeling. There are sometimes I don't feel at peace. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that I'm not in peace.
There you go.
Because as long as I'm in Jesus, I'm in love. Yes. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm in joy. Yes. As long as I'm in Jesus, I'm in peace. Yes. And so it goes, real peace goes beyond, well, I just don't feel peace. Peace is much deeper than that. Because the clarity of this peace comes when we hear His voice above all the other voices attempting to talk to us. The reason why so many Christians today, Sister Steele, don't have true peace in Jesus is that they hear what the pastor is saying. They hear what the associate pastor is saying. They hear what the evangelist is saying. But they'll go out and what you experience for 45 minutes on a Sunday in a message, or 45 minutes on a Wednesday night message or whatever, you'll let 2.5 hours of Facebook and Fox News and CNN and all that other stuff override the Word of God. I can't text this country. I'm going to preach a little bit about what you said. And traveling across this country, I've had people come up for prayer. My life is just in turmoil. My life is just turning upside down. Well, do you believe? First of all, do you believe that God can change all of that? Yes, I do. So we pray and we lay hands on them. And 5 seconds later, how do you feel? Well, I just don't know. And part of me just wants to go back and sit down.
Right.
Until faith actually arises in you.
Yeah, right.
And you actually believe it.
Right.
You see, because what's happening here is we hear what the preacher's saying, we hear what the pastor is saying, we hear what everybody else is saying. We hear what the Word says. We hear what God says, but then we let everything else drown it out.
Yeah.
Oh, we come to church and we, woo, bless God, I'm blessed and highly favored. We go outside, turn on the TV, turn on the radio. You know? And somebody at the White House says something stupid. I mean, come on. Oh, my goodness, I'm on. Well, we'll stop buying gas from one dictator and buy it from another.
Come on.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. And we get all flustered over that. We get up in arms about things, and we wonder why we don't quote feel this peace. Because sometimes you got to put all the trash where it needs to go. And I don't allow trash to build up in my home. When trash shows itself, there's a place that the trash goes to. And that trash goes in the trash can, which is then taken out to the dumpster. But there are so many of us that are allowing the trash to pile up in our lives, are allowing it to pile up in our minds, and we can't figure things out, and we can't do it, and so we come to church and we have to cry in the altar for 2.5 hours because we haven't had peace all week long, but we're not willing to throw the trash out. We've got this peace comes when we hear His voice above everything else. We are to hear His voice and listen to what He says. Listen. He says in John 10, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Not what this one's saying, not what this preacher's saying, not what this prophet's saying, not what this evangelist's saying. And I thank God for all of them.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. But if every time God's speaking, you've got to filter it through your favorite preacher to see whether or not if it's true or not, got to watch out. Because His sheep actually know His voice.
Yes.
His sheep actually know his voice. And to have this peace, real peace of the Spirit, always brings about clarity. And you don't have to wrestle with the will of God. More often than not, people wrestle with the will of God simply because God has spoken. But they just haven't figured out, they just haven't been willing to crucify the flesh. Put the flesh on the altar. You see, here's the thing. And don't misunderstand me. God commanded us to lay down our lives. God commanded us, while we don't die for the sins of people, there's still a cross that we carry. Sometimes we wrestle and we fight against the peace that God wants to give us simply because we don't want to do what God has commanded us to do. And because of that, there's no peace in our lives. But he said, his sheep will know his voice. If you stay close to the shepherd, you stay in constant peace. I've been saying this for a while now. If our lives are an emotional roller coaster, something is off kilter. Something spiritually is off kilter. Listen to me. I'm not saying you don't have bad days. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying everybody has bad days. Matter of fact, the Bible says there's a time that we cry, there's a time that we weep, there's a time that we rejoice, there's a time that we live, there's a time that we die. We understand all of that. But there is a danger, there is a danger among Christians where it's like a roller coaster. I've got victory today, but I don't have victory tomorrow. I've got peace today, I don't have peace tomorrow. And can I tell you, when we find ourselves like that, somewhere along the lines, we are not as close to the shepherd as we think we are. Mm-hmm. Because when we are close to the shepherd, the peace brings clarity of what we are supposed to do. Now, thirdly, I've got just a few minutes here. Let me wrap this up. God's peace will always calm the troubled heart. When there is peace, there is no room for a troubled heart. Real peace will flow as we draw closer to the Lord. Real peace will flow as we draw closer to the Lord. Now let me just say this, and I'm going to slow this down for about the next 5 to 6 minutes and I'll finish this up. And listen to me when I say this, and please understand me. When people come to me and they tell me that they're afraid and that they're worried about something, I'm very careful about how that I don't chastise them. I'm very careful about that. Because at one point or another, we've all said something and spoken something that we wish that when it went out, we could have grabbed it and said, I wish I had a do-over on that one. And that goes into a little bit of long suffering. Now, psychologists will tell you, and I believe this personally, in my studies and stuff, we are born with 2 innate fears. Because fear is a learned behavior.
the scientists, the psychologists tell us that we're born with two fears. Two innate fears. One is the fear of falling, and the other one is the fear of loud noises. And I've experienced that. When I was a kid, I didn't like loud noises. I hated loud noises. But all other fear is learned behavior. You fear something because you have been taught the fear. Now, we can get in debate on whether some of that is good and some of that's bad. A healthy fear teaches me that I don't need to reach down and pick up a rattlesnake. Right? Alright? A healthy fear tells me that I don't want to try to cross the interstate. Alright? So that's, I understand all that, but right now, what I'm seeing in the world, what I'm seeing in the church, is I'm seeing the church become conditioned to fear. Are y'all tricking with me on this here?
Yes.
We're being, look no further than a global pandemic. Look no further than a global pandemic. Now, I don't really necessarily care what side of the aisle anybody is on all that. If you wear a mask, I didn't think that meant that you didn't have any faith.
Yeah.
If you didn't wear a mask, I didn't think that made you stupid. But we had people in the church calling people faithless and calling people stupid regardless of what.
Yeah, right.
And that was crazy.
Yeah.
Right. What we had there is fear begin to creep in.
Yeah.
Condition to fear. So what do you do with that condition? You take it to the shepherd. And even at times when those things creep into my life, and I'm going to say this, no one here in this congregation, no one watching my Facebook, is so spiritual that you're exempt from it.
Amen.
Right.
Fear will try to find you. That's what you do when it does find you, is what's important.
Right,
amen.
But see, here's the thing. What I love about the Lord is that I can come to Him, Brother Johnny, just like I could with my dad. I'm trying not to sound secular here, but while I was preparing this message, it was the only thing that came to my mind. Everybody remember Conway Twitty?
Amen.
I sang a song at my dad's funeral that Conway Twitty wrote, or sang. And he said, "That's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me." And there would be parts in that song as he's telling the story about his dad, as he would say, "Daddy, I'm so afraid." Daddy would just simply tell him, "That's my job." And there are times I can run to my Father and I can go into the throne room and I can say, "Daddy, I'm scared. Can I just be honest with you? When I lost my earthly father, I was scared half to death. Because for all my life, it was always me and him. Always, Pastor, it was me and him. There's not an, outside of my relationship with my wife, there wasn't
one significant memory that I ever experienced that didn't have him in it. And then when we knew that he was getting ready to pass away, I began to think to myself and I said, what am I going to do? He's not going to be here. There's things that only I can talk to him about. There's only things I can share with him. And so still fear. And I had to take that fear to my Heavenly Father. And I had to say, Father, I'm afraid. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And any time that I've ever had to go to the throne room, he's never made me to feel ashamed. But he's always called me by my name. Do you know that we are the only people, Christians, and I'm talking to Christians here, that identify people by their shame? Don't believe it? Somebody showed me anywhere in the Bible that Thomas is ever referred to as doubting Thomas. Not one time. You know who gave him that name? The church. Old Doubting Thomas. Old Thomas was a doubter. Didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But Jesus looked at him and said, come here. If this helps, touch. Pastor, why are you saying all that? Because I get it. With everything that is going on in the world right now, it's easy to get in the midst of all this chaos. But when you run to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I see everything that's going on. I see everything that's taking place in the world. And to be honest, Jesus, I'm a little bit apprehensive about all that. And he doesn't chastise us because of that. It flows from the throne. His peace flows from the throne. And he begins to remind us, just like it was already said in worship, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor is seed begging bread. It's a peaceful assurance that is flowing from the throne. So here's the question, and I'm bringing it to a close. I'm 2 minutes over what I wanted to preach. What do we need to lay at his feet tonight to receive his peace today? Stand with me all over this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.